The lesson is from the book of Matthew. Please rise. Matthew 8:23-27. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord.
So just a brief intro. We are on our third life tool, if you will. And the first week about, you know, praising God when things are bad. Last week about putting forgiveness into practice when someone has wronged you. Today we're talking about relinquishment when you are afraid or worried. Relinquishment. And really, these tools, of course, if they're just in your toolbox and never brought out, they're not going to be of much use, right? And there are inserts at the Connection Center. I have three. I'm going to take these home, and I'm going to place them in my Bible at home and just refer to them and just engage them in some level. Can we do that, gang? Is that kind of a covenant together? No, not really. I was just Let's go for it. Let's do it. So I can remember as a little boy a fishing trip with my dad on Big Marine Lake in Minnesota. We had a very small boat with a very small engine. I believe it was a 3.2 motor, a Scott motor. It was basically an egg beater, if you will. And it was a sunny Saturday afternoon, and the winds were blowing fiercely, and the waves were very large, and I was young, perhaps 4 or 5. My eyes were wide open. My dad tried as he might to keep the boat, away from the shore, but not being dashed on the rocks, if you will, and that tiny motor just, you know, fought against the mighty turbulent waves. But I can remember holding on to my dad's leg with a death grip. I was so afraid. He told me years later that he had some fear on board, too, and I'm glad he didn't tell me at the time. You know, in our reading, we read of a great storm. And really the context is Jesus is discipling his disciples. And earlier, his disciples witnessed his healing power over the various diseases. Now, they are going to have their own storm, and they're going to need God to show up. And really, our faith, if it's a faith that's good, is a fire-tested faith. It's a lived faith. So they're journeying deeper into faith, deeper into trusting God to be God. Gathering and great storms have a way of causing great fear. Great fear. At times, overwhelming fear. So let's read from verses 23 and 24. And when he, Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Now, two important things to note. First of all, to follow Jesus means that Jesus will lead you into the storm. To follow Jesus means that Jesus will lead you into the storm. Now, Jesus is sovereign. He easily could have intervened or led them across the sea so that it would be a pleasurable journey. But Jesus led them into the storm. And by that, I mean disciples are led into the storm. First of all, character refinement. You know, God will discipline those whom he loves, and it feels like a storm, an overwhelming storm when you're in the midst of it. Jesus calls us into mission in a hostile world. It's a storm going on out there. And that's what the disciples experienced as they were led into mission. In fact, Jesus says just a chapter or two later in chapter 10, we read these verses. Jesus said to his disciples, "See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents as innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. There is a fierce battle. There is hostility. Increasingly, as we live Christian faith, live out the Christian faith in a post-Christian culture, because of the world in which we live, because of our own sinful flesh and our enemy, it's increasingly a battle, a fierce battle, if you will. And we see it. A battle between good and evil waged in the context of the souls of humankind. In balance. Just watch, just bring Jesus into a certain situation and just watch the opposition unfold. It's not neutral ground. Again, an epic battle. And if you follow Jesus into the mission field, you will be led into the storm. And here's the second thing. The storms we face at times will be fierce and beyond our power to subdue. Interesting, the word here, wind storm, is translated from a Greek word, seismos. We know that word, of course. In other verses, Matthew translates that word quake. And I understand there's a fault line near Lake Galilee. And perhaps that it shifted a bit, that fault line, causing this tsunami, if you will. Also, Lake Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, surrounded by some very large mountains. And so when that warm air from Lake Galilee, would rises and meet the cool air blowing down from the mountains, it causes violent storms. And these storms have a way of kind of, coming up at night. And so when you read Mark's gospel account in chapter 4, you read how Jesus, now it's evening, and they start to set sail. I can imagine they were a little afraid, huh? And what they feared most came to fruition, if you will. The point is that there was a sudden violent storm, so far beyond their capacity to subdue control. In a word, my friends, we experience at times storms in life that are beyond our power to subdue. And our only hope for deliverance is in God Almighty Himself. I'm not sure if there's a gathering storm, or I'm not sure what the storm is in your life this day. It may be a relationship conflict, a failing relationship. What will happen in the future? Perhaps it's an addiction, yours or another. Maybe it's just a job or a career crisis. Or just perhaps the stage of life you're in. Isn't it true that each stage in life, as you transition, as you go through life, each stage, sometimes a new stage, has its own challenges? And if you're going to journey well, you're going to need to really face and deal with this if you're going to continue well on your journey. And it's often the case that we face these storms, these fears. They bring us to the point where all our security blankets, supports other than God, are just kind of, knocked away. Knocked away. I was speaking to someone the other day, and this person told me of a failed relationship, how painful it's been. Also, along with this, told me about a good friend who passed away just a few days earlier as a result of cancer. And this person said to me, I just feel lost. I just feel lost. Brings us to verse 25. And they went and they woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Earlier in 24, Jesus is asleep. In Mark's account, in the stern, he's sleeping. This perfect trust in his Father. But that's not where his disciples were. When we experience these storms, we cry out, and sometimes it feels like God is asleep on the job of being God. In Mark's account, too, while Jesus is sleeping, they go and awake him, chapter 4 of Mark, and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The word perishing can be translated destroy. "Teacher, don't you care? We're perishing here." When we find ourselves in these storms, and sometimes the storms last longer than we would like, right? I mean, come on, 2 months, 6 months, 3, 4 years, God. The storm rages. "God, don't you care?" The Lord does care. But he's working out his will, his way. The preciousness of a fire-tested faith that honors and glorifies God. God cares, but he allows the storms for a time, and again, oftentimes, longer than we would like, for the purpose of our growing in trust and faith in Jesus, that he is God incarnate, that he is Almighty God, that he has all power and authority. That's really the edge of faith. In the midst of whatever, trusting in Jesus, that he has all authority and power, no matter how raging and violent the storm. Jesus then says after, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You of little faith." And Matthew uses that phrase in other places, "you of little faith." It has the sense of cowardly faith. Truth be known, Jesus could be speaking of you and me. At least I'll speak for myself. He easily could be speaking of me. "You of little faith." Oh, I have the sense that God has power, Almighty God. But I'm not sure sometimes if God is willing to act powerfully on my behalf in this case. I sometimes describe my faith as mustard seed faith. I thank God, however, my mustard seed faith is in God Almighty, who has all authority and power. And while Jesus doesn't really admire, you know, little faith or cowardly faith, he does respond, doesn't he? That's the good news. We bring what faith we have. We cry out to God. He responds to grow them, to grow us forward. In the latter part of verse 26, then he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a dead calm. This wasn't just kind of the storm just kind of died out. This is a violent storm. All of a sudden, dead calm. The one who spoke creation into existence out of nothing and said, "Let there be," and it came to be, is also the one who has all authority and power to rebuke fallen creation into submission. To speak a new reality into our lives in the midst of sin and a fallen world. Do you believe that? Speak a new reality, a living word blessed by the Spirit. So here are four important takeaways from our reading. All right, number one. When you follow Jesus, you will be led into the storm. Now, this isn't about temptation. This is, again, as I mentioned, character refinement, and also in particular, to be in mission in a fallen post-Christian culture, and there will be opposition. We hear that, increasingly so. You will be led into the storm, which will function in such a way to either strengthen your faith to prevail. All right, number two, here's another important one. This is good news. Jesus is in the boat with you, amen? We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, who has gone before us, who knows the Garden of Gethsemane, and cries out to God on his face. Oh, the Lord knows what you're going through. He knows your fears. Jesus is in the boat with you. Some more good news. Number three, Jesus has all authority and power to save. He's sending his disciples out in mission. You know, this little band, 11, 12, what have you. A hostile world, a culture, of course, you know, just wanting to pick them off. And he says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He's transferring now, passing the mantle, giving them authority and power. Jesus, again, desires you and I, his sons and daughters, as his disciples, to grow in trust in no matter what the situation, that Jesus is a God of provision, a God of protection, no matter how great the storm or the fear, that we are his beloved, that we can trust him, that we can grow almost like Jesus, asleep in the boat in the midst of a raging storm. And number four, good news, the power of his word. In the midst of the storms, Jesus works out his saving purposes through the power of his word. What do I mean by that? Again, a blessed word from God, blessed by the Spirit, has the power to create a new reality. So in the midst of your storms, your fears, as you draw near to God through the Word of God, as the Spirit works on that Word and blesses it into your life, it creates faith. It creates a new reality, if you will, to guide us, to secure us, to ultimately save us. In the midst of the storms and fears, God works out his saving purposes through the power of his word. I trust in the midst of whatever your storm, it is through that living word that you experience the rebuking and the calming of your storm. And these truths can be lived out in terms of, with respect to now, the life tool of relinquishment. All right? And I encourage you, just pull this out briefly. Everyone got a life, this insert, the life tool, the practice of relinquishment. And that intro says, ask God to help you identify the situations in your life that are causing you worry or fear and write them down. I'm sure everyone can identify a storm, a worry, or a fear and write that down. Something related to your future. Something in your present. Something happening this week. But I encourage you just to write something down. You can do that now. But again, to take this with you. Because really, this is about engaging faith around fears. Again, through the power of God's word. And because Jesus is in the boat then, number one, in prayer, admit to God what you fear most might happen. How do you like that? I didn't like that latter part so much. Causes me some anxiety. After all, don't we work overtime to deny our fear? To not really face it? Or don't we seek to manage our lives in such a way that what we fear most doesn't happen? You know, truthfully, what we fear most probably won't happen. Oh, but it could. And this is about acknowledging that, but about discovering the sufficiency of God. Again, his authority and power. Because of God being God, we can face our fears with faith. It will not be our ultimate undoing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the victory, even our faith. No matter how big the storm, the one, as I mentioned, who spoke creation to existence is also the one who can speak a new reality in the midst of your storm and your fears. Can I hear an amen to that? Did you hear that? And number two, because Jesus is in the boat with us, place the situation in God's hands. Oh, you may need to do this more than once. The disciples, again, while they had cowardly faith, they were crying out to God, Lord, and the word Lord is a divine word, name. Lord, save us. They were calling. They were calling on God. They were seeking God to intervene on the situation. When you're in the midst of a storm and it's causing great fear, I encourage you to come before the Lord in that quiet spot. And whatever that great fear, whatever that concern, just place it. Place it in God's strong hands. As I mentioned, there are certain things in our lives, storms resulting in fear that are beyond us to overcome on our own. What is that for you today? What is that for you today? Are you willing to discipline? Are you willing to engage faith by entering into the very presence on a regular basis? Just placing in God's hand this concern, this fear. In number three then, because Jesus is in the boat with us, tell God that you will accept whatever he allows to happen. God is good, Father. God's will is good and gracious. One of you with whom I kind of share the faith on a more closer personal basis has great peace in praying. And this is a gift of God through the Spirit. But has great peace in praying that portion of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This person has great confidence in knowing that God is sovereign and knowing the safety that comes from just submission to the will of God, the good and gracious will of God. Perhaps you've heard it put, the will of God will not lead you, or the grace of God will not keep you. The will of God will not lead us, or the grace of God will not keep us. And then number four, ask God. Ask God, or acknowledge that his ways are always better than yours. Do you believe that? I've shared with you over the last several months a key verse that God has given me that I continue to go back to. And again, a word from God, blessed by the Spirit, that's been grace for me. Trust in the Lord with all your own heart, with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. This is about, in any given situation, trusting in the Word of God, calling on the Spirit then to guide and direct your ways forward, not taking action, not stepping on out based on your own understanding or how you think things should be. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than ours. When you're in the will of God, when you're surrendering and submitting to the Spirit and the Spirit's leading, it leads to life. In spite of what you may think, go back to the Word of God and ask for the grace to hear and live out that word, that guidance the Spirit is providing. Pray, pray, and acknowledge that his ways are always better than yours. The disciples, in spite of that little faith, in spite of crying out, you know, hey, Lord, Lord, save us, we're being destroyed. The Lord responded. He rebuked the wind, dead calm. Think of how that little faith started to grow. That's really the journey here. It's about discovering the sovereignty of God, his authority and power to save, no matter what the situation we face. One of you recently shared with me how some of your fears have been replaced in large measure by faith. This person received a diagnosis of cancer about 3 or 4 months back. And this person initially will talk about how it brought a great deal of fear at times, that overwhelming, that fear that just kind of washes over you in the moment. However, as this person has journeyed in faith, has come to experience some of the refuge, the experience of God as refuge, God's presence, God's saving by the power of his word. And this person shared with me just last Sunday how even though some family members continue to kind of be gripped by fear, she's feeling some calm and peace. You know, an experience of the presence, the calm and peace, God's work in her life as she faces and continues to battle with cancer. Reminds me, too, of a pastoral experience I had with Pastor Dick some years back. We were at the bedside of a woman who would soon die of cancer. And we left this person's bedside. Pastor Dick said to me, "Well, it's not well with her body, but it's well with her soul." This person knew, even though she walked through the valley of the shadow of death, that the Lord is with her. As a result of that, she feared no evil. The presence of God. Jesus is in the boat with you and me. Jesus is God incarnate, has all authority and power, the power to speak a new reality into our lives through his word. What is it you fear? What causes you to worry? You know, cry out to God, bring it to the Lord, as I mentioned. You know? And allow the word of God through the power of the Spirit in God's timing and in God's way to rebuke the storm, to replace it with a measure of peace. So let's pray. Lord, you said, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives it, that I give to you." Lord, your peace is meant to come to us in the midst of the storm, the gathering storm. Lord, at times we feel this gathering storm in the midst of an unbelieving culture, in the midst of enemies, the flesh, this world, and Satan himself. But Lord, you are stronger. You have all authority and power. So Lord, we just come before you. We come before you praying for your grace, your mercy, for a powerful move of your Spirit through the word, Lord. Lord, rebuke whatever. Give us peace, calm. Ultimately, God, you get the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.